I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
The weather in Central Ohio just got better, so why shouldn't your loan rate? CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.99% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at CMEFCU.org.
Terms apply. Minimum floor rates, 4.99% APR cars, 6.50% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. James Forrest is backing Celtic to take their ruthlessness into Europe against Cluj tomorrow, building on Sunday's last-minute winner against Midtjylland as they aim for Rangers, according to Scott Arfield, and financial uncertainty at Partick Thistle as lottery winner Colin Weir withdraws his support. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hanna.
A big European away week for Celtic, for Rangers and for Aberdeen. It all starts in Romania tomorrow evening for Neil Lennon's men, I believe. Neil will be holding his press conference over there in the next 15 minutes. It's a kind of midweek you would expect the Scottish teams to go and park the bus. Poor old Partick don't even have one anymore.
Yeah, good one, Roger. Yes, obviously disappointing news for Partick Thistle this afternoon, Gordon, with Colin Weir pulling out there. But it's all about the European campaign this week. Celtic's kick off tomorrow night in Romania, and then obviously Rangers and Aberdeen and Thursday. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it'll be the same results. I think that we've still got a fair chance that three teams, or three Scottish teams, can make it through.
0141 951 1025, that's the number you need to get in touch tonight. On Twitter, we are at Clyde SSB. And Roger, Scottish football, the league season came back with a bang at the weekend. It never disappoints, because we are right in that middle ground between looking back on some of the big talking points on and off the pitch at the weekend, and also previewing the European action as well.
Yeah, well, as a man who was at Livingston versus Motherwell for Super Scoreboard on Saturday, it didn't come back with too much of a bang for me. I'm looking forward to this weekend and hopefully a goal. But other than that game, there were stories everywhere. Celtic hitting seven against St Johnstone, putting down a marker. Rangers scoring that dramatic last minute winner. Five goals in what looked like a fantastic game of Pittodrie on Sunday between Aberdeen and Hearts. A late win for Hibs, a really good win coming back to the top flight for Ross County as well. So stories galore, and as Daz says, hopefully three Scottish teams through to the playoff round, and ties, which if you look at them, you know, they're not the worst they could have got, the three teams.
Did you enjoy your opening weekend, Gordon? Your return for the new season? You've got your new hairdo, you've had a warm weather training camp under your belt, ready to go.
It's probably the best for a long, long time, Gordon. I've been to many a flag day, and the build up before it and the excitement with supporters and everything. Celtic actually got a standing ovation at half time. They were that good. And you can say whatever you want against St Johnstone, but St Johnstone were very lucky to get out of Celtic Park, only losing seven. I thought on opening day, the way Celtic went about their business, they were absolutely terrific. Christie getting a hat trick, just that was icing the cake for him. A lot of us pundits have got him player of the year. But then you look at Aberdeen, terrific win at home against Hearts. They'll be trying to challenge as well. And then obviously Rangers getting that last minute winner that a lot of Rangers supporters are delighted with, because they said last season that wouldn't have happened, Gordon. So a lot to play for still.
And we tend to specialise in off the field stuff in this part of the world. Roger, the Kelly Trust have issued a statement this afternoon. So that situation isn't going away, it's snowballing at the moment as all the different parties chuck their opinion in.
Yeah, and I think it's important that the SPFL stand up and make a judgment on this, because at the minute it's just a war of words. Rangers saying one thing, Kilmarnock saying the other thing. Rangers saying they'd warned Kilmarnock about these issues in the past, about the entry system and problems of fans getting in to Rugby Park. Kilmarnock denying that these conversations took place. What we do know is that that small, very small minority of Rangers fans should not have been on the roof of the disabled section. They should not have been on the pitch at Rugby Park. But there clearly were problems at the entry system at Rugby Park as well. And all of this needs to be addressed, because as this season goes on, Rangers will carry huge supports wherever they go in the Premiership. Celtic will carry huge supports wherever they go in the Premiership. We cannot have these supporters going and have health and safety issues each and every week.
It's Tuesday night. We're looking back on the weekend's action. We're looking forward to European qualification. We've got an English transfer window that closes in a couple of days. How will that impact our clubs? What's on your mind? 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you. James Forrest says Celtic were ruthless against St Johnstone, and Neil Lennon keeps on pushing them to add to their goal tally. He's expecting a completely different test against Cluj tomorrow, but thinks they're good enough to get through the tie.
We played St Johnstone last year, and they always make it hard for us as well. But I think Saturday, I think we were ruthless, and I think we just kept creating chances, and just one of the days that the goals kept coming. But I think, as I said, like it's obviously different in Europe, and especially going away to Cluj, we know it's going to be a really difficult game. And as I said, I think we've got the players in the squad to deal with it and hopefully get a positive result. Every manager plays different ways, and I think that's just everyone knows that. But as I said, like the manager here is like ruthless. He wants, we were 3-0 up at half time the other day, and he's wanting to make sure we go out and win the second half as well. And you've seen that, I think, for 90 minutes on Saturday. We just kept going. We're wanting as many goals, but at the same time, we've got the clean sheet as well. So we've got a lot of good attacking players in the squad as well, like boys coming on off the bench and Saturday and getting on the score sheet as well. So I think that's a real confidence boost to everyone in the squad.
That has long since been the challenge for our clubs in Europe, particularly Celtic in recent years. Roger, they're the ones who have been involved in most of the European action. It's how do you take the convincing domestic performances and recreate them in a completely different environment against completely different opposition?
Well, they've shown an aptitude for it in the last couple of years, getting back into the Champions League groups. First couple of rounds this year, they've dealt with very well. Sarajevo could have been awkward right at the very start. They, for me, were at the level above the teams you should be getting in a first qualifying round. And to be honest, Gordon, I think at the start, if someone had said to Neil Lennon, listen, you'll get Cluj in the third qualifying round, you'll get Slavia Prague in the fourth qualifying round, I think that's a scenario Neil Lennon would have taken, particularly when you see the form Celtic have started the season in. And it is a different game. Of course, St Johnstone at home is different from Cluj away, but you couldn't ask to be in any better fettle going to Romania for this game tomorrow night.
Yeah, the one thing that was noticeable in just listening to James Forrest there, Gordon, in the interview, Neil Lennon has got a different approach from Brendan Rodgers. It was noticeable on Saturday that Brendan liked to keep the ball. He would make 20 passes at the back before the ball went forward. Neil Lennon encourages his players to get that ball forward as quickly as they possibly can. And I think it helps the forward players. I think it helps Christy, Forrest, Johnson, I thought was excellent as well. Edwards' link-up play was very, very good. McGregor and Brown just sat there and played balls. Ayer broke forward. They go into this game tomorrow night and they must be getting in with a lot of confidence. I think they can score over there. And if they do that and are very, you know, tight at the back, then I think they've got a great chance of progressing.
One of the main sticks used to beat Brendan Rodgers with, Roger, and listen, you can hardly question the domestic record given the trophies he won, but it was always about Europe and an inability or an unwillingness to change away from home against difficult opposition. I don't know if Cluj quite fit into that bracket where you would have to do that. What are you expecting in terms of approach for Celtic tomorrow?
I think unwillingness is probably the word. Neil Lennon is more pragmatic, I think, than Brendan Rodgers. He would be willing to change his philosophy to a slightly more defensive one if he felt the need. Brendan always wanted to go and play his way regardless of the opposition or the venue or whatever, and sometimes, as you say, that was used as a stick to beat him with. I would expect Neil Lennon to go there. I would expect Celtic to be reasonably solid. Don't be surprised if it's Adjer and Simunovic and then Beaton and Brown in front of them tomorrow night. And maybe someone like Michael Johnson maybe doesn't start the game. It's maybe McGregor and Christie and Forrest in behind Odson Edward. you know, trying to just get a result there that keeps the tie well in Celtic's favour. I think Celtic would take a 1-1 there. I think Celtic would take a 0-0 there and bring it back to Celtic Park next Tuesday night.
What do you think of that, Gordon? Because I'd imagine there's a groundswell of opinion out there that, fitness permitting, you just go with the same team as the weekend. They won 7-0. It was the perfect performance. But Roger's already suggesting there might be changes to try and adapt to that European arena.
It depends how the manager sees it, Gordon. The first thing he's got to do, bring the game back to Celtic Park, make sure you're still in the tie. That's exactly what he's got to do tomorrow night.
What would your guess be then? Stick with the winning formula or adapt?
I think that the only change, if everybody was fit, the only change, if Neil's away from home, he might look at a more defensive with Johnson coming out of the team. And although the lad, I thought he set everything going with his goal, he turned the defence of St Johnstone inside out, terrific goal, and all of a sudden Celtic were just in the front foot and they were just creating chances and scoring for fun. I think that Neil looking away from home, going to be a tough test. He might, if he's going to make one change, he might just leave out Mikey Johnston and bring in a more experienced defensive player.
0141 951 1025. John is in Coatbridge. What's on your mind tonight, John?
Hi, Roger, Gordon and Gordon.
Hello. Hi, John.
I wonder, it's mostly you, Roger, this point, my first point. I've heard wee things through the grapevine that Brendan Rodgers is going to actually try and come in and sign Callum McGregor before this window closes. Have you heard anything through the pipeline, Roger?
Well, there's no doubt that Brendan, there's a number of Celtic players Brendan likes. Callum McGregor had been one, Christopher Ajer had been one, hope I've pronounced that right. Kieran Tierney is obviously another one as well. Brendan's got a lot of money to spend now, 80 odd million for Harry Maguire. I don't think he could rule anything out at all.
Are people putting two and two together though?
No, listen, Gordon. The point John makes, you right, Brendan Rodgers, huge admirer of Callum McGregor. That's an open secret. Everyone knows that. I think where this might fall down is, I honestly can't see Celtic selling Callum McGregor right now. I could see them selling Kieran Tierney before Thursday at 5 o'clock. I don't think there's any way Celtic would sell Callum McGregor at the minute.
Is the Christopher Ayer one more glaring just simply because we know that Leicester have got a lot of money and have lost a central defender and all the rest of it?
Not at all. Big Chris has been a player transformed.
I'm going to have to add some context here. Roger Hanna's been getting a bit of stick on social media for his pronunciation of what you and I would say Ayer. You tend to go for Adger. You've been even getting a bit of stick and you're backing down. You're going for Big Chris from now on.
I promised last week from this week on it would be Big Chris. And then someone pointed out to me, Christopher Julian's even bigger. But I can pronounce Julian.
Medium sized Chris.
Big Chris has been probably Celtic's most improved player in the last year or 18 months. People are coming to watch him. AC Milan have watched him recently. And Brendan Rodgers has had a, you know, first-hand view of Ajer's improvement. So he might see him as one for the future. He's actually well off for central defenders. He's with Harry Maguire away. Johnny Evans is still there. Philip Benkovic, if you remember, is still there. Wes Morgan, the captain, when he won the title, is still there. Soyuncu, the big Turkish central defender, is there as well. So it's not to say he's going to go and spend a lot of this money on a like-for-like replacement right now for Harry Maguire. But Ajer and McGregor are definitely ones he likes.
John, we are going to find out in the next couple of days what impact the change in the English transfer window has on us, because we're quite selfish, we're not really bothered what it means to them. What does it mean for us though? Is there going to be a knock-on effect? Are you worried about losing Celtic players between now and then?
Well, I don't know, because I know I've heard a wee story as well that I know we're supposed to be Olivier Cham has been unhappy, but apparently now I think he feels wanted now under Neil, you know what I mean? So I don't know. As I said, as Gordon always said, there's definitely a player in him, you know what I mean? It's just if he's got his head together, know what I mean? Because he's a smashing player when he wants to be. So, as I say, but I wouldn't want to lose Callum McGregor, know what I mean? I think he's the man that's going to take over for Scott Brown, know what I mean? In the long run. But
yeah, John, the one thing I noticed about Cham at the weekend, I was just watching him when he come on. He looked very lively. He got his goal, obviously, which helps. He looks like he's a lad that's maybe just had a chat with Neil Lennon and settled down a little bit. And I think he now knows that he's in for a fight, because he is a very talented player, you've got to say, but he's in for a fight if he's going to claim the number one position in the middle of the park against for instance, Brown, who's the captain, and McGregor, who's probably one of the top players and first on that team sheet every week. So he needs to get himself back in the right frame of mind and start challenging to see if he can get a regular game. But it will be very difficult. But done himself no harm whatsoever, because he come on, looked lively, and as I say, he got a good goal.
John, you got another point?
I would just, as I said, Gordon and the guys, I wasn't a fan of Neil getting the job, right? But as I said to Gordon off air there, I was into the game on Saturday. It was my 50th on Saturday, so one of my mates, I have not got a season book now, but my big mate, Big Martin, gave us a season. It was brilliant. And see the way, the difference, and don't get me wrong, I mean, obviously we don't like Brendan Rodgers for what he's done, right? But his record in domestic football. But the way Celtic get the ball forward, as Gordon said earlier on there, it was night and day. And as you say, it benefits the forwards and even the attacking midfielders. And as I've been on here for the last 2 years championing about Ryan Christie, I think he's been proved right now. And I would like Mr. Guidi to come on tomorrow night and admit that he was wrong, because I was on last year and said to Mr. Guidi about Ryan Christie making it. He said he didn't think we'd ever make it to Celtic. So I hope Mark can come on tomorrow and admit it to me.
John, to be fair to Mr. Guidi, as you call him, I don't think he was the only one, because when Ryan Christie came to Celtic at first, I thought, no, I don't fancy him to, you know, claim a regular spot. He went to Aberdeen, which was the best decision that Celtic and Ryan Christie's ever made. They worked very hard in his fitness and a bit of strength work as well. And the boy is the most improved footballer in Scotland by a country mile. His hat trick, okay, the goalkeeper helped him for the second one, but his first and his third goals were just a player that's playing with so much confidence. And I've got to say, Mr. Guidi was not the only one that had probably written Ryan Christie off.
I think we had a Celtic fan on the phone last night who admitted as much. He didn't think, you know, he certainly couldn't see this one coming. I noticed a lot of you guys, you pundits, tipped him to be player of the year before the game's even kicked off on Saturday. Clearly there's still a long, long way to go, but you just wonder how he's going to cope with being the main man, or perceived to be one of the main men. Up until now, it's been about trying to sort of force his way in and prove that he belongs to be there. And now it seems as if it's his to lose.
After watching him on Saturday, Gordon, he believes he can be the main man. He's just full of confidence. His goals sum up for me. The first one he takes, and I'm sitting, you know, I've got a great angle of it, and it's a terrific finish. No goalkeeper's getting near that. Second one, as I say, he had a shot at goals. Goalkeeper Xander Clark was shocking for it. And his third one, to get the hat trick as well. His movement's incredible. He must be, you know, to play against him. Teams come to Celtic Park and try to play against that. His movement is so good. He's so hard to pick up. He can finish. His touch is great. His timing of the runs are great. As I said, I didn't see that coming as well, but he's the most improved player in Scottish football at the moment.
You talk there as if there's some sort of pressure on Ryan Christie. No pressure on Ryan Christie at the minute, Gordon. I'll tell you who the pressure's on. Tom Rogic. How's Tom Rogic going to get back into that Celtic team?
Well, nice problem to have, I guess, if you're Neil Lennon. 0141 951 1025. Big thanks to John on the line. Like I say, Tuesday night, so we're caught right in the middle of looking back on the weekend's biggest talking points and looking ahead to a massive, massive week of European qualification. In terms of the Rangers camp, we're going to hear from Scott Arfield next. Give us a call.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL are here. Give us a call or tweet us at Clyde SSB, looking back on the weekend's biggest talking points and previewing a huge couple of days in European qualification as well. Partick Thistle fans, quite keen to hear from you. After seven, we're going to take a closer look at what's been happening. It's been a turbulent couple of days, various reports coming out, the club trying to respond to those, and now the news this afternoon that the financial backing from Colin Weir has been withdrawn. So let us know how concerned you are, or if you think this will all turn out well in the end, you tell us. 01419511025. Celtic are now in Romania ahead of tomorrow night's qualifier. Neil Lennon's press conference is very soon, so we'll keep you up to speed if he says anything of note. Let's look at Rangers' situation. Scott Arfield's looking for them to build on their last minute winner against Kilmarnock when they face Midtjylland on Thursday. He says he saw flashes of their potential on Sunday, and the group that Steven Gerrard's assembled has the right mentality to succeed.
Yeah, and that's the thing that we spoke about at the end of last season. It's the thing that we spoke about during the season, and again, that's what we've been saying here at the start of the season. So as long as we go as strong as possible, as long as possible, then we can keep going, and we've got leaders in there that's going to step up big times. But it is a mentality thing. That's the sort of mentality that the manager's brought into this group of players. It's what he's banging on about, to go as long as possible. And well, I think if you look at other teams, when we conceded the goals, you know, they go into they get momentum going forward, and rightly so. So we're hoping that's obviously going to be with us. And European adventures, another one that we're going to do. So we're going to that game on Thursday. Enjoyment about going playing for this football club and going playing in another country and taking it to them, and hopefully we can get a good result to bring back again, and hopefully that momentum stays with us. Loads of thinking in the first half. I think you've seen flutters with it, moving the ball across the pitch and creating chances. So I think in terms of the quality of player that we've got in, the strength and depth, it's been well documented how well we've done in terms of that. But the biggest things for me is the characters that's been brought in and ready to have a right good go at it, and hopefully it's a good season for us.
Yeah, just listening to Scott Arfield there, I think that the Rangers players were delighted with the result. You can look at it both ways. Alec Ray, who was doing the game for us down at Rugby Park, said that on Sunday, get out of jail. A lot of Rangers supporters delighted with the fighting spirit, probably saying, well, last season we would have went on, maybe lost it, or just got a point. But you've got to give credit to Rangers. They dug deep and they eventually got it. I don't agree with them in the first half about, you know, passing the ball about and creating chances. I don't think Rangers created a lot on Sunday. Two set plays got them the goals. They're very dangerous at that. You've got to say the two centre-halves attack the ball very, very well indeed. And it's all about the delivery as well for Tavernier. Arfield was there to put the ball in the back of the net. Catty's got, you know, a good header on it, good save from the goalkeeper. But it's just about being in the right place at the right time. Arfield's one of these players. I think he'll be a big player for Rangers this season. I like him. I like him this forward role. I think he's very dangerous. Makes really, really good runs. But I just think that at the weekend, after what happened on Saturday, it was so, so important for Rangers to get the 3 points in the bag. Forget the display, forget the fact that it was down at Rugby Park. They got the 3 points, they got the job done.
And that's the thing, though, is we could sit here and talk all night in a negative way about Rangers' performance. For me, they were too passive for long periods of the time. There wasn't enough pace in the team, there wasn't enough width in the team. At 1-0, you got the impression they thought, oh, this is it, done, and we'll just pass the ball about nicely and we'll just keep it and we won't press on. They didn't show that sort of attacking mentality that Celtic had shown 24 hours earlier. We could go on about this all night, but they won the game.
Yeah.
They came back from a late setback and they won the game, and they'll get better. Rangers could rightly turn around and say, pitch at Kilmarnock, it was off a drive, you know, on Sunday they couldn't get the passing game going, they couldn't play the expansive stuff they like on that surface. But they won the game, and with only 37 league games left, they're joint top of the table.
They're going to have days like that, and Celtic will be the same as well. And they get away from home and the performances will not be what everybody wants them to be. But the most important thing, first and foremost, when you start a game, is the 3 points, Gordon.
Yeah,
yeah, it helps if you achieved what Celtic achieved on Saturday. Flowing football, plenty of chances, great football to watch. That was brilliant. But at the end of the day, it's still a 3 points. That was always going to be a difficult game. I thought Kilmarnock's build up to the game was shocking, I've got to say, only having two competitive games. And I was very confident Rangers would win the game. But as it went 1-1, you're now thinking, right, you need to show a bit of character.
Did Kilmarnock perhaps prove you wrong in that regard?
I think you've got to say they probably did. But I think that what suited Kilmarnock was the fact it was Rangers. There was a decent crowd there. Players got a lift from that, Gordon. I think if that had been a Hearts, I think Kilmarnock would have fell flat in their face.
It'll be fascinating to see. They've now got Hamilton Accies back to back in the Premiership and then in the Betfred Cup. And you're right, those two games will be crucial for that. Can actually set the tone for Kilmarnock's season, because they're not getting hammered because they've lost to Rangers. Lose a couple of times to Hamilton, they're under pressure.
John's a Rangers fan in Hamilton. What's on your mind tonight, John?
I'm just wanting to see if there's any truth in the Morelos to Brentford deal with £15 million. Roger Hannah, well, season one for you.
Listen, John, it's a wee bit like the previous John when he called asking about Callum McGregor and Leicester City. I'm sure there is plenty of interest. Brentford have just landed £20 million for Neil Mopey going to Brighton. They need a striker. They lost at home to Birmingham at the weekend without scoring a goal. I am quite sure that they have a long list of strikers, potential targets. I'm quite sure Alfredo Morelos will feature somewhere on that long list. But as we sit here at 6:30 on the Tuesday night, as far as I know, Brentford have not been in touch with Rangers about a deal. That's not to say it won't happen between now and 5 o'clock on Thursday, because there will be deals between now and then that none of us ever thought of.
Brentford have a very specific model, Roger, as well. I mean, they may deviate from that, but the chances of them spending most of the 20 million they just brought in looks like it's quite slim based on their model.
Deviated a couple of times lately. You know, they signed Pontus Janssen from Leeds United, who was an older centre half than they would normally go for. They appointed him club captain. They actually tried to sign Max Lowe, who had been at Aberdeen last season. They tried to sign him from Derby at the weekend. They're a bit knocked back. I would expect them to go back in and try and get him again. So they are spending a little bit more money, but they can afford to, Gordon, because they're getting a lot of money in, notably the 20 million for Mopey. So be interesting to see what they do. They will buy a striker. They'll bid for a striker. I'm just not sure it's going to be Morelos.
What do you think, John?
I hope it's not Morelos. I've got another quick point if I've got a minute.
Sure.
It's just the media outcry, the Rangers fans on Sunday, how they're getting tarnished with this. They brought the disabled shed and stuff. But Celtic done this at Pittodrie in 2017. There was no mention of it. And also over social media and various newspapers, there's Rangers sectarian singings everywhere, but there was no mention of the Celtic banner at the weekend when there's a child abuse scandal going on at Celtic now, and there's no mention of that.
Remind me of the bus shelter, the disabled shelter at Pittodrie. Did that one collapse, John?
It didn't collapse.
That's probably why there's not the same comparison, Roger. I mean, it's difficult to remember every time a fan has been on top of.
The Rangers fans shouldn't have been on it at Kilmarnock, and the Celtic fans shouldn't have been on it at Aberdeen, whether it collapsed or not, because they don't know it's not going to collapse when they got on it. So I've seen the footage of the Celtic fans at Pittodrie. Listen, they shouldn't have been on it. It's as simple as that. Go to the football and try to behave yourselves.
Thank you very much, John, in Hamilton. 0141 951 1025. Still loads of time to get your calls in. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Neil Lennon is speaking at the moment in Romania. I'll keep you up to speed if he says anything of note. Well, there's one in fact on El Hamed's injury. He's included in the squad and he makes the game. Simple as that. So there you go, Gordon.
Yeah, good news. I was quite impressed with him at the weekend. In fact, I would go as far to say I was quite impressed with the two fullbacks, Gordon. Okay, people will point a finger at St Johnstone and, you know, Forfar beat them and Trolls beat them in the Bedford Cup. But it doesn't matter. It's just you've got a feeling for players. It was the first time I've watched the two fullbacks, and I've got to say they looked very good indeed.
Neil Lennon picked them out, didn't he? And Alison did the post-match interview on Saturday evening. He mentioned the two fullbacks, and obviously, as I said, I was at Livingston, I didn't see the game. And it was at the back of my mind that I wonder if he's just trying to give the two new lads a wee jolly up by mentioning them. But it's interesting to say you said they played well.
Well, let's speak to Craig, who's a Rangers fan on the line. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Gordon. Hi, Gordon, Roger. Sort of a couple of points I want to make. The first thing, just the game at the weekend there, and even the game before that against Progress, where I felt we've maybe been a wee bit flatter than previous games we've played in pre-season. I just want to ask Roger and Gordon, do any of you think that Gerrard actually knows what his strongest start in 11 is? Because I don't think he does. I don't even know what that strongest start in 11 is, because he's got so many players, including players to come back like Glenn Kamara and Jamie Murphy and the rest of it as well, that could easily slot into that team. And I think that might pose a difficulty for him in working that out, really.
And also, Craig, he's brought in two centre-backs that wasn't involved. They weren't involved in Sunday. He's paid a lot of money for one. So that's a decision that he'll have to make. But I think what his aim this season was purely the fact of having a look at his bench when he needed to make substitutions, and knowing that he had strength to go in there and keep the quality up. Whereas last season, I think that Steven Gerrard looked at the bench sometimes and thought, I'm not going to improve anything here. It's not going to make it any better. So I think that's why he's got such a big squad now. And he'll need that squad because there's a lot of games to be played over the course of a season. Injuries, suspensions, everything comes into it. It'll be interesting to see who probably plays the majority at the back, whose two centre halves will be. You look at on Sunday, Cattage and Goldston, who played last year together for a spell, they end up getting the goals. Well, Cattage makes the goals for Arfield and then Goldston scores the winner. Always look dangerous at set plays. So just now, I don't think he will know what his strongest 11 is, but I'm sure by the time the end of the month comes and he goes to Ibrox to play Celtic, I think you'll see his strongest 11.
Listen, it's a valid point Craig makes. Do you not think football's changed though? The days of a first 11, you know, you couldn't pick the, what's Manchester City's first 11? Guardiola changes it every week. What's Liverpool's first 11? Klopp changed that midfield every week and quite often changed the centre half alongside Van Dijk. So I think the days of, you know, managers saying, oh, this is my strongest 11, I think those days have gone, because teams, they're rotated, they play so often now, Daz, that managers don't think anything. They routinely make 2, 3, 4 changes every week. So you don't need to have a strongest 11.
You'll have a nucleus. A manager will have, you know, about 5 players in his mind that I'll play them.
Exactly, but that's not 11 then, is it?
No, I'll play them probably most weeks if they're available and fit, unless they look a bit tired near the end of the season. And then he'll fit other squad players
To answer Craig's question, in your 5 or 6 you speak about, McGregor will play every week when he's not suspended. Tavernier as a captain will play every week. It looks as if Goldson will play more or less every week. Davis, when fit, will play every week.
McGregor and goals for Rangers.
Ryan Jack is one that Steven Gerrard really likes. He plays every week. And then you would think Morelos. And then I think he'll alternate. You know, the wide guys, it was the weekend, it was Anfield, no Joe, and then on came Jones and Stewart. So, you know, you'll see changes there.
I mean, Craig, what would he make of Rodgers' response? Does it really matter if he doesn't know exactly what the strongest starting 11 is? And what does that mean? Because I would imagine that, a strongest starting 11 to play Hamilton at home might look very different from a strongest starting 11 to, you know, to go to Celtic Park or to go to Midtjylland in Europe.
I don't know what, I would agree with that. Obviously, your strongest starting 11 could change depending on who you're playing, but I think it is important because, for me, they didn't really put to bed the demons of progress a couple of years ago, because that's twice they went over and played the fourth best team in Luxembourg and failed to score in both occasions. Now, for me, although they get through with the 2-0 win at Ibrox, that's no good enough. That's just my opinion on it. I think you can't go and play the fourth best team in Luxembourg and no score. Also, I think, and I think part of that is when you don't know who your strongest 11 is. In these games, you've got to know. When you're playing Celtic, I guarantee you that when Neil Lennon rocks up to play Rangers and the week before that, he'll know. In the back of his mind, he'll know exactly who his strongest 11 are going to be and who's going to play in that game. My worry is whether Steven Gerrard will know that, because he's got so many options, and they're good options, so it's arguably a good problem. But right now, when you look at like Ojo, Aribo, Ryan Jack in that midfield, Stephen Davis in that midfield, all fantastic players, and then you've got other players on the bench and who are coming back from injury. Jamie Murphy's one who I hope to see him soon, because I think he deserves another chance in the squad. He got injured at the start of last season. He's a fantastic player, so I don't see any reason why he wouldn't get in the team at some stage as well. So I think that's going to be one of the issues. If Celtic and Neil Lennon know who they're going to play, then we have to know exactly what we are putting up against that.
I think you're doing your manager a disservice, Craig. I think that by the time... Now, remember, it's still early on in the season. Everybody has to get game time. Yeah, when we went over to Progress, it wasn't the greatest performance. Of course, you want goals, but the job was done at Ibrox. And they get through that. They didn't play great football on Sunday, but they got the result. I'm sure, I do agree with you, and one, I think Neil Lennon will know his strongest 11 if everybody's fit for Ibrox, but I am sure Steven Gerrard will know his strongest 11 when Celtic turn up as visitors.
The one that just seems to be unavoidable at the moment, Roger, if you look at social media or you listen to pundits like Alex Ray on the show over the weekend and last night, is the left back position. Yeah. Can you see Steven Gerrard signing another one before this window closes?
Yes. If Borna Barisic keeps playing the way he played on Sunday, yes, I think the manager's hand would be forced. Barisic is a real conundrum. He's Croatia's first choice left back now. It's a country who played in the World Cup final not so long ago. He scored goals for Croatia. He's not looked out of place in the Croatia team. And yet, when he comes back to play for Rangers, he's poor. How many times on Sunday did he get into good positions to deliver a ball, and then he swings one of those big aimless high balls?
Is that the problem?
Is
that the main problem for him at the moment? And I hope I'm not being too unfair on the player. That the only real argument for him at the moment seems to be he's a Croatian international. And if that's all that anyone's building their case on, then there probably is something missing.
Yeah, you wonder, John Flanagan, if you remember at the end of the season, Rangers, before they played at Kilmarnock in the last day of last season, I think they went on a run, was it 5 or 6 straight wins? And Flanagan was in the team playing at left back, probably played the best football of his time at Rangers. So you wonder, once he gets fit, if Steven Gerrard has this in his head, that Flanagan's going to be the left back.
The way things are going, Roger, I think he may have it in his head that Halliday's going to be the left back shortly. I thought, well, Barisic. I still say you've got to give him a bit of time. He was poor on Sunday gone.
As a manager, Daz, does he get sucked in for the Kilmarnock goal? Should he be closer to Stephen O'Donnell at the Kilmarnock goal? Because when O'Donnell takes the ball, he doesn't have the first time. He's got time to take it down and then, you know, strike a shot. And the closest Rangers player to him is Alfredo Morelos.
Yeah, who switches off. It depends on what they've been told to defend set plays. You don't know what a manager is thinking. They'll have a plan. People will be told to get into certain positions. But I thought, you're right, I thought his use of the ball on Sunday was dreadful. I really did. He's struggling a little bit, the guy. He might come good. You never know. He just may come good, Gordon. But this moment in time, I wouldn't be surprised if in the next week or two, if they keeps their performances up, Halliday's thrown in at left back.
01419511025. Big thanks to Craig in Cumbernauld. We're going to take more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL are here. Get your calls in, 01419511025. And if you'd rather tweets, you'll find us at Clyde SSB. We do actually have some Scottish football tonight, Roger. And the only reason I mention it is because how could you not want to mention the Tunnocks Caramel Wafer Challenge Cup? It should be mentioned as often as possible.
Tunnocks Caramel Wafer Challenge Cup. I hope the sponsors are listening.
It's good, isn't it? It's
got a, I know where the studios are, just
nice,
in case there's any deliveries,
nice,
on the way.
Nice,
Gordon,
ring to it.
Yes, indeed. It's the first round. All the Colts teams against the lower league, non-league teams tonight and tomorrow night. I think, is it Motherwell and Hamilton play their coached games tomorrow night? So it's the start again of all the competition. It'll be interesting to see who progresses. We had a Welsh team in the final last year, if you remember. And they must have learned quite a bit from Scottish football, because they come back and cuffed Kilmarnock out of the Europa League.
They certainly did. Gordon, I believe it's some of those games, maybe even them all, but I noticed that some of them you actually get a Tunnocks caramel wafer on your way in the stadium.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'll be at a few games tomorrow night. Just jump in between one or two. Who's the nearest to Motherwell? Is Motherwell playing Hamilton?
No. No, Motherwell and Hamilton are the two
played
games
separately.
That I played tomorrow night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're there. Two biscuits. Yeah.
Worth braving the rain. I suppose the hair dye can't run anymore now that you've got the silver fox,
so
you don't mind getting in the rain.
Right now. Yeah, okay. That's why I'm playing a lot of golf in the rain.
Motherwell kids at home to Spartan, 7:45 tomorrow night. I'll give Alan Burrows a nod, tell him you'll be in the new Motherwell.
Well, listen, we walk down the hill. It's a stone's throw for you. New strip on, Tunnocks caramel wafer. Watch the game, report back to us.
Good night.
Oh, no. We've got a problem.
Why?
As you revealed on the show last week, Wednesday's bath night, isn't it?
Bath night, yeah.
Bath night, where you choose to listen to the show amongst the bubbles.
Well, I sort of broke the tradition last week because I was out Wednesday, so I had to make bath night Friday.
Wow, what a rock and roll lifestyle. It was when he started referring to Wednesday as hump day, Roger, that we had to move swiftly on, because that means something very different for Gordon DL than it does to the rest of us, I think. Anyway, 01419511025. Bob is in Kirkintilloch. Hi, Bob.
Hi, guys. Hi, Gordon's. And Roger.
Hi, Bob.
I was on the show just the end of last season, just the tail end of last season, saying that I felt that the Celtic board had to get their the start of this season up and running right away. And I was at Celtic Park on Saturday, and I have to say, guys, outstanding, fantastic from Celtic. If they play that the rest of the season, they don't have much to worry about. I don't think they will have any in the row in the bag very early, but it's going to be a long season. We'll see how it goes.
What are you thinking about the European side of things, Bob? I know there's a a feeling amongst some. I think Hugh Keevans is leading it, that it's all about the league this season, and you know, Europe can take a bit of a backseat. But of course, it gives you that real opportunity to earn some serious, serious money. How important are these next couple of weeks with the qualifiers?
Yeah, of course, the European nights at Celtic Park are legendary. I mean, everybody loves going to Celtic Park. The European nights are fantastic. There's nothing like it in Scottish football. But I do feel the league is the thing for the next two seasons. I think we all know that that's going to be the big thing in Scotland for the next 2 years, next two seasons. But can I just make another point, Gordon?
Yeah, well, put that first one to the guy. Sorry, I sort of butted in and asked you another question. What did you make of Bob's assessment about, you know, the sort of flying start the Celtic appear to have made?
Yeah, they've done very well to get through two European qualifiers. Is that, you know, you would expect that, but to go and score seven against St Johnstone in the opening day of the season has laid down a marker to everyone else domestically. It's always awkward at this time of year for Celtic, all these Champions League qualifiers and having to jump between Europe in midweek and a domestic game at the weekend, a different balancing act. But you listen to both Neil Lennon and Scott Brown, who have said in the last 7 days the Champions League qualifiers, those eight games, if you can navigate a path successfully through that, Gordon, it's almost like winning a fourth trophy for Celtic. And you know, they don't get the silverware, but they get the money at the end of it. You like, you know, all the cash on offer from the Champions League. So don't underestimate the importance of these two games against Cluj, and hopefully, from a Scottish football point of view, two games against Slavia Prague as well.
On you go, Bob.
I was just going to mention, after the carry on at Kilmarnock and Sunday, at the tail end of last season at Celtic Park, Rangers were complaining about Scott Brown's celebrations. I feel that all the players, all the professional players in the SPL have a duty. Now, Golson ran into the crowd there. I'm not just blaming the Rangers players, it's all throughout Scottish football. They must have a duty of care. He ran into the crowd after scoring on Sunday there, and I think that certainly helped in the way the Rangers players, the Rangers supporters, celebrated. I encouraged them onto the pitch, I think. So maybe all professional footballers should have a wee think just before the...
Yeah, I mean, Roger, they're certainly told not to. It usually carries a booking. I don't think Conor Goldson did get booked for it, incidentally.
I'm going to slightly defend Conor Goldson and then criticise some of his teammates, because I think Conor Goldson actually stopped or attempted to stop at the side of the goal, was shoved by a teammate forward, and there were a couple of his teammates, more than a couple, went past Goldson and did go into the crowd. I think Nikola Katic was the only one that was actually booked by Willie Collum at the weekend. But it's a very valid point Bob makes. And I think not only does Steven Gerrard need to remind these players of their responsibilities, even when that great high of scoring a last-minute goal, Steven Gerrard needs to remind them of the responsibilities. And I don't think it would do any harm if other managers did the same, because you see Ryan Hedges of Aberdeen going into the crowd and getting a booking after his late goal against Hearts as well. There are, and I don't want to be boring here, there are health and safety issues there. There were young kids in the crowd at Pittodrie when Ryan Hedges leapt in. I'm sure there were kids in the crowd at Rugby Park as well. The players do have a responsibility.
We don't have a great deal of time before the news, but just on that, the Kelly Trust have issued a statement today hitting out really at the SPFL. Roger, this has become a spectacular blame game, which Scotland specialises in. Yep. I mean, when you look at trying to debate these things at the moment, seems particularly difficult, but I'll read you the statement quickly, or some of it. Kelly Trust voices grave concern at the lack of leadership, direction and sanction by the regulatory Scottish footballing authorities following the incidents at the weekend. Talk about trying to, you know, portray the game to a worldwide audience. Shameful behaviour, they talk about tarnishing the game. They have a bit of a go at Neil Doncaster. They then accuse Rangers of trying to provide a smokescreen to deflect criticism. They then say they'll work with the club, the police, the local authority to provide an open and transparent conclusion following an investigation. What do you make of all this?
Well, listen, without wanting to be disparaging, what are the Kelly Trust going to say? You know, they clearly want the SPFL and the SFA to apportion all blame for this at Rangers' door. Rangers yesterday, with their statement, which the Kelly Trust are describing as a smokescreen, Rangers are trying to put pressure on the SPFL and the SFA to apportion some of the blame to Kilmarnock for the entry system problems, for stewarding, for policing, all of that. The bottom line is the relationship between the two clubs has deteriorated badly over the last period of time. Kilmarnock took away a lot of the ticket allocation they used to give to Rangers. I don't think Steve Clarke helped matters when he stood in the pitch in the last day of the season and shouted bye-bye Rangers as the Rangers supporters went out the ground. There were clearly too many Rangers fans in that end of Rugby Park at the weekend. Whose fault is that? I think it's time for the SPFL to come out, and I don't expect them to come out today or tomorrow. They need to take their time. They need to look at CCTV. They need to take eyewitness statements. They need to speak to the police. They need to speak to the stewards. But I think it's time for them to come out and say this was A was wrong, B was wrong, C was wrong, and apportion blame properly and correctly. Otherwise, all we're going to have is tit for tat statements between people aligned to Rangers and people aligned to Kilmarnock.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time, your chance to win yourself a signed ball if you can get the better of Gordon DL or Roger minus one Hannah. If you fancy it tonight, it's 0141 951 1025 and you have to be quick because you only have until the news at 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hannah and Gordon DL are here. They kicked off by looking back on some of the weekend's action and, of course, looking ahead to big nights in Europe for Rangers, Celtic and Aberdeen over the coming days. I want to look at Partick Thistle's situation next. Jags fans, where are you? Give us a call on 01419511025. News today that Colin Weir, lottery winner, has withdrawn his financial support from the club. This comes after a day which saw reports about the transfer budget being cut. The club came out and tried to dismiss those reports. There's stories about the team bus. Gordon DL might have to get the old Passat back in action and give the Partick Thistle players a lift to the game at the weekend. Lots going on, so Thistle fans, get in touch, let us know what you make of it. 01419511025 after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
We finally got up and running, I think, for the listeners last night. I'm sure Hugh Keevan's lost. Yeah, I think he did. They had a bit of a ropey night, the old fella, and we got one on the board for the listeners. Let's see if we can make it two in a row. Jim is in Easterhouse. How are you tonight, Jim?
Fine, Gordon. Thank you. It's fine.
Good stuff, Jim. I'm going to toss the coin. Heads, you're going to be up against Roger, who will start on minus one. And tails, you will be up against Gordon DL. It is tails. Gordon DL against Jim from Easter. Yes. Celebrating already. It's a victory before we've even started. Brilliant. Right.
I've got beef with DL.
You've got beef with him?
Aye, my pal used to play for him, saying he was mother. The worst manager he played under.
Oh, who's this? Name and shame.
Can't tell you, sorry.
There you are. Somebody's spreading stories. Probably not surprising.
Not surprising at all. Quite happy with these stories.
Let me give Gordon some Clyde 2 in his ear. That way he can't hear you, Jim, just in case you're spreading any more stories about him. I'm going to get your 30 seconds up and running. You're head to head with Gordon. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Let's go.
He's very honest, is Gordon DL. He can still hear me. He can't hear Clyde 2. Producer Andy better get himself through here pronto and sort this situation out. There we go. That you now, he's giving me the thumb. Jim, by the way, how honest is that? I thought Gordon would have taken the opportunity to cheat there. He was listening to us that whole time.
He's a good guy. He's not as bad as my pals.
Here we go. He's winning your round already, right? He can't hear us anymore. 30 seconds. Head to head. You can pass. Your time starts now. How many games has Motherwell's Jake Carroll been suspended for?
Three.
Who did Rangers sign Wes Fotheringham from?
Forest.
What nationality is Kilmarnock's new signing Liam Miller?
Irish.
Which Scottish team play at Lynx Park?
Pass.
Who did Jim Goodwin play for immediately before joining St Mirren?
Pass.
What year did Shinsuke Nakamura join Celtic, I should say?
2006.
Okay, let's bring Gordon back. Gordon, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you now, yeah.
Jim's saying he was dire. I could hear them. They're tough. I think they're quite tough tonight. Okay. I think you're going to struggle as well.
Oh, probably will.
Yeah, I think you will. Be ready?
Go.
Same set of questions.
Yep.
How many games has Motherwell's Jake Carroll been suspended for?
Two.
Who did Rangers sign Wes Fotheringham from?
Scunthorpe.
What nationality is Kilmarnock's new signing Liam Miller?
English.
Which Scottish team play at Lynx Park?
Lynx Park, Montrose.
Who did Jim Goodwin play for immediately before joining St Mirren?
Alava.
What year did Shinsuke Nakamura join Celtic?
2004.
Okay, okay. Still think you were dire, Jim?
Atrocious.
Atrocious. He's gone from dire to atrocious.
This could be a good game then.
Let's find out. First question: how many games has Motherwell's Jake Carroll been suspended for? It is two. So Gordon got it up and running, 1-0 to him. Who did Rangers sign Wes Fotheringham from?
Swindon.
It was Swindon.
Oh, and you had started with an S.
None of you got that one right. You're a Rangers fan as well, Jim. You'll be kicking yourself. Still 1-0 to Gordon. What nationality is Kilmarnock's new signing? Well, he was there last season as well, Liam Miller. He's Canadian. Canadian producer Andy made up the questions. He's obviously just trying to get one in for his countrymen. Still 1-0 to Gordon.
Good game.
Yeah, it's a classic. Which Scottish team play at Lynx Park? It is Montrose. You got there in the end, Gordon. It goes 2-0. I'm worried for you at this stage, Jim, because you've still got nil on the board. Who did Jim Goodwin play for immediately before joining St Mirren?
Was it Stockport?
It was Hamilton Accies.
Hamilton Accies,
yes, it was. So it's still 2-0 to Gordon
DL. No.
And in what year did Shinsuke Nakamura join Celtic? One of you said 2004. One of you said 2006. It was 2005. Yado Ball. If you've ever seen the famous Shinsuke Nakamura video,
Jim,
on YouTube.
Jim, you still there?
Jim.
You still there, yeah?
I'm here.
Yes, I'm glad I got you. 2-0, see you later, Jim.
Jim, don't let him brag because he wasn't very good either, but he was still better than you. You get zero, he get two, hard lines.
Oh, Jim's got a zero.
I'm just dying to know who his pal is that thinks you're the worst manager I've ever had.
Oh, that, you could narrow that down to about 500 people. Yeah, I'm not going to lose sleep over that one, would you?
01419511025. Partick Thistle fans, let's hear from you. Are you worried or are you not about today's turn of events? Roger, take us through this if you can then, because I know your newspaper's been keeping a close eye on it. Take us through the last, I don't know what it would be, 24, 30 hours for Kilmarnock, for Partick Thistle.
Listen, I'll take you back to Saturday where the players had to go to the end of drill at Alloa under their own steam, had to take their own cars. There was no club bus to take them to the game as part of a cost cutting drive. Today, in light of another story, another newspaper that was denied by the Thistle board, the current board, the new board, if you like, issued a statement just explaining the situation, saying that Gary Caldwell still had a budget that is, I think, to use their quote, third or fourth biggest in the Championship. So they're probably saying behind Dundee and Dundee United, if you like. They're saying that there have been budgetary issues in terms of income, but they've managed to bridge that with the sale of young Aidan Fitzpatrick to Norwich. I think they got a sell on when Liam Lindsay moved from Barnsley to Stoke in the summer. And they've also made some cost-cutting efficiencies, one of which is the demise of the team coach. They go to Morton 2 weeks on Friday. They will not have a team bus for the trip to Capello. And after that, they have got some longer trips away, Inverness and Arbroath among them. They are endeavouring to have a team bus in place for that. Now, no sooner had that statement gone out than they were really hit with the devastating blow that Colin Weir, the lottery millionaire, has withdrawn his funding from the club.
Yeah, let me read bits of that statement. Huge regret, he says. I confirm withdrawing my financial support with immediate effect. Current uncertainties about its potential new ownership, combined with no substantive plan for the club's future and instability caused by recent board changes. I'm unable to make further investment at this time. I've invested £2.5 million to date, including a sum that allowed the club to become debt-free, with a further £6 million set aside for the training ground and to support the running of the Thistleweir Youth Academy. So that's the bit that looks like, if they can't come up with some solution, will hit the club quite hard.
Yeah, I would say so. And it's now over to the new board. Jackie Lowe has left, Alan Ruff has left, some other former directors have left the club. David Beattie is back on the board. There is interest in buying Partick Thistle from the company which currently owns both Barnsley and Nice and France's top flight, Gordon. But that deal is far from complete. There are uncertainties over football's dual ownership roles. If you remember back in the day, for an example, if you remember, Mike Ashley had to dispense with his shareholding in Rangers because he could only take, you know, I think it's 9.9% of a second club having had a controlling stake in Newcastle. So you would think on the face of it, the people who have the controlling stake in Barnsley wouldn't be able to take a controlling stake in Partick Thistle. That all seems to be up in the air in the minute. And I think it's that kind of uncertainty that has caused Colin Weir to step away from Partick Thistle tonight. It is a devastating blow to Partick Thistle. At the minute, it doesn't look as if the youth, you know, the new training ground, I should say, will go ahead. And you would worry at the minute about where Partick Thistle are going to kick on now in the future.
Partick Thistle fans, what do you make of it then? Are you worried or are you confident that this will all be worked out in the end? You tell us. 0141 951 1025. From a player's perspective, Gordon, when we hear things like that, you know, they won't get a bus to take them to their next two away games, that seems like quite a big deal, because you don't hear about it too often. I just wonder, you've played and you've managed players, is that as big a deal as it seems to the outside, or will the players just, you know, shrug and get on with it?
They'll just have to shrug and get on with it, Gordon, but I think it is a big deal. Preparation's everything. This is a big season for Partick. Obviously Rogers touched on there that Dundee United, Dundee favourites to, you know, be up there challenging the big budgets. Partick, as the board have come out and said, third biggest or fourth biggest budget in the league. They'll be expecting big things. So if you're going to expect big things from the manager and the players, you've got to at least act professional.
Yeah, and it looks bad. The next away game at Morton, it's one of the TV games on the Friday night, Gordon. So all the cameras are going to be there.
Yeah.
What's it going to look like for Partick Thistle? Gary Caldwell, Brian Kerr, Kenny Miller stepping out the back of a hatchback outside Capello to go in and play a game that is crucial for Thistle, having already dropped points at Alloa at the weekend. It doesn't put out the type of image that should be associated with a full-time team of the stature of Partick Thistle.
I think you're right there, Roger. It's not like they're a part-time team. It's not like they're paying poor wages. So if you're going to be a professional full-time club, act like one, Gordon. Get a team bus. It's important. You're right, Roger. Stepping out of cars and all that at Capello. Plus, if you're in a team bus and you're going to a game, you find that players like to have a chat, talk about the game, talk about what's happening. It gets everyone together as well. I think that is a real, I think that's a body blow for players. Players do like the fact of getting on a bus, getting together for that game and going to the away ground.
And what the Thistle statement didn't say this afternoon, the Thistle club statement, not Colin Weir's statement, what it didn't say was, what's actually happening with this proposed takeover? You know, some directors have clearly left the football club because they weren't happy. You know, I remember Jackie Lowe and her associated directors putting a statement out shortly after they left, and that would have worried you if you were a Thistle fan. The future ownership of the club was not addressed in the statement today. All it said was Gary Caldwell's budget's untouched and we're making contingency savings elsewhere. Now Colin Weir, who has been extraordinarily generous to Partick Thistle since his fortunate lottery win, even he now has reached a point where he's worried about his investment and has withdrawn his investment. And it's a day of more questions and answers for Partick Thistle.
Partick Thistle fans, let's hear from you. 01419511025. Alistair's in Corker Hill. Hi, Alistair.
Good evening, Gordon and Roger. I've actually been on the road since 25 to 7, Gordon, so I haven't heard any of the calls what I was going to phone up about. But being a football fan, I'm worried about what could happen at Thistle, especially what's happened in the past, a couple of teams. And this time, because Jerry Collins was on STV tonight and he's really fearing for it. How do you feel about yourselves, fellas?
I mean, Roger, we don't want to paint it out to be more dramatic than it is at this stage. As you says, it's more about unanswered questions rather than impending doom at the moment.
Yeah, I would agree. But, you know, Thistle's results on the pitch hadn't been great. They were relegated. They fluttered with another relegation last season. Gary Caldwell came in, he stabilised them, he kept them up. That was a good thing for Partick Thistle. But what would worry me is that a lot of the people who were involved at the club, Jackie Lowe, Alan Ruffhood, come back into the club in an ambassadorial, directorial role, a couple of other directors, they've left, they've gone. They don't like what's happening at the club. They've walked away. Colin Weir, who had put in £2.5 million, a lot of money, Gordon. Even for a lottery winner, it's a lot of money. Had put £2.5 million in, had rendered the club debt-free, had promised to bankroll the new training ground out in the west side of Glasgow. He's now not happy. He's walked away as well. So while we're speculating on the future because we don't know all the ins and outs. All we can go on is the statements that, you know, people associated with her make. We don't know. What would worry is the people on the inside, a number of the people on the inside are walking away because they're not happy with what they've been told and the assurances they've been given. You know, Alistair and the other Thistle fans, they've every right to be concerned.
See, the thing is, Alistair, I don't think you're even a Thistle fan as such. You're just a concerned...
But I'm a football fan, yep, in general, and especially when sometimes I go up there when the Rangers are away, and points you call, I'm on my way doing to St Martin's Park now. I'm just a football freak in general, and I worry for teams in case we have another third lineup or anything while in our hands.
Gordon, I suppose the thing about the next couple of weeks, because prior to all this, the intention from Gary Caldwell was to still sign more players. So we'll, the proof will be in the pudding, if you like. Yeah. Are they able to bring in a few more? The first statement, if you like, the one from Partick Thistle today, was suggesting that the transfer or the player budget isn't going to be affected. So we'll watch with interest over the next couple of weeks to see if new players do come in.
I'll be very surprised, Gordon. If I was a Partick Thistle player or involved in the club, I'd be a bit worried. If you're cutting costs with a team bus, remember, this is probably every fortnight, two a month, a team bus, you're cutting costs and you're taking away from your players, and yet you're still saying, well, the budget's not going to be touched. I can't see Gary Caldwell going out and putting another, I don't know what Partick pays, say they pay 700 quid or 500 quid. I don't see them putting another £500-£700 a week on the wage bill.
A lot of it's about perception as well. It's about the image of the football club. Remember years ago, Aberdeen get rid of the toaster from Pittodrie, and it was only to, you know, to save a few quid. The publicity was dreadful for the club. This publicity for Partick Thistle is dreadful. They look like
that's a bigger deal than the bus itself, probably.
They look like a Mickey Mouse operation when they're rolling up at championship games, asking players to get, you know, out the back of their own cars to go and play. And
or fund their own bus, presumably.
Yeah, and it's noted they didn't win the game at Alloa at the weekend, you know, off the back of having to take their own cars to the games.
Hugh is a Partick fan. He's in Cumbernauld. Hi, Hugh.
How you doing? I don't know where to start. Yeah, if you're talking about professionalism, I mean, it's only a couple of months ago that we had the players out in La Manga, but the players out in Tenerife. Then all of a sudden we're told the players can't take a car. Now, that's totally unprofessional as far as I'm concerned. Now, my biggest concern to me is obviously, why do they want to buy Partick Thistle? Call me a cynic. Everybody knows there's land up there, and there's land to be built for student flats. And I tell you what, these Partick Thistle shareholders have got a lot to answer for. I don't know if your views are on that, guys.
Well, I don't know who's going to come in, Hugh. There's talk of this company who own Nice and Barnsley being interested in the club. I don't know what the future's going to hold, but you would be surprised if anyone at all came in and pledged the level of investment that Colin Weir had pledged. Now, for me, there's something wrong when Colin Weir is walking away from the football club tonight. I'm not sure what that is, what's wrong. It'll probably all come out in the wash, but it's not the start to the season Partick Thistle would have been looking for. They were great in the Betfred Cup. They're through. They've got home tie against Ross County a week on Saturday. Football, for all the drop points at the end of John at the weekend, the football has been more encouraging recently under Gary Caldwell, but the off-field stuff is casting a cloud over the club at the minute.
I don't think so, Roger. I don't think they're strong enough. I think they'll do well to stay up this year. This team's not good enough. And the reason why Colin Weir's pulled the plug is because Jackie Lowe's away. Jackie Lowe and that's the reason why Jackie Lowe's gone. Colin Weir's gone because of Jackie Lowe's gone. So I certainly won't be back. I'm sorry, but I won't be back.
Just on the back of this, Hugh, this is enough. Is this your breaking point?
This is my breaking point. Is the fact that this mob? I pray it's not. Then because they've told you they do not spend money. They do not spend money. What they do is they try and make the clubs better, then sell it on. But as I say, I'm a cynic. I think they bought it for the land, and I don't think Thistle will be here in 5 years' time if this Chinese guy buys it.
Well, I mean, that's granted. Hugh's applying quite a bit of guesswork there. We don't know. We'll watch with interest in the next couple of weeks. Thank you very much, Hugh and Cumbernauld.
No, I was just going to say, you know, people are presuming the company who own Nice and Barnsley are going to buy it. Well, and then, you know, Hugh's clearly worried about that. I think equally worrying might be what happens if this takeover doesn't go through. Where's the funding coming from Partick Thistle? They're already saying in terms of income, there's not enough income incoming, Gordon. They're having to make savings. That's the reason the bus has gone. So if there's not a takeover, what does the future then hold for Partick Thistle?
0141 951 1025. We've got a full time teaser lined up for the guys. You only are looking for four answers tonight.
Oh.
So that probably tells you something about the difficulty level of the question. Get your pen and paper ready. It's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna are here. Still plenty of time for you to get your calls in or tweet at Clyde SSB. If you want the number, it's 0141 951 1025. And whilst I'm giving out contact details, you might want to take this down: fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. An extra way for you to get involved in the show. If you've got a nice question, a nice piece of trivia, you send the question in and I'll try and get it on the show and catch the pundits out for usually the last section, the last half an hour, starting now. So for instance, this is the way it works. John has sent tonight's question in, and he says, since 1999, this is a cracker by the way, four players have played in the English Premier League, have played in or for Scotland, and have a Scottish place anywhere in their name. Do you want me to repeat that?
No, because it doesn't matter to me.
Since 1999, four players have played in the English Premier League, have played in or for Scotland, and have a Scottish place anywhere in their name. Surname.
Surname, right. Yeah.
Is Jason Scotland one? No.
No.
A place.
So it's like towns, cities, mm-hmm. villages. I mean, this is tough. That's why we've only given you four answers. There were more, but I managed to alter the question a bit and trim it
Sean
down.
Sean Dundee.
Did he play up here?
Yes.
Did he?
Not sure.
I've never heard of him.
No.
Played for Liverpool. Liverpool striker.
Oh, Sean Dundee.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Didn't play up here.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I like that.
I don't.
Yeah. this is the type that's going to send you over the edge, I think, Gordon Deere.
Oh no, I've already gone.
I was doing the fact checking earlier. I did look up Sean Dundee. He did play for Liverpool, but he did not play in or for Scotland.
Since 99, four players have played in the EPL in or for Scotland,
uh-huh.
and have a Scottish place in their name.
Come on, let's see what you're made of on Twitter. Let's see if you can beat these two off the mark. They've not got
it's like
any
the old Formula One one, isn't it? Stirling Moss, Johnny Dumfries. Mm-hmm. And Ayrton Senna.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's all surnames, by the way.
All surnames.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, it's anywhere in the surname, so it might be the full words. You know, it might be
could
someone
it be
Glasgow.
Jackson Irvine. No.
What a shout that! Ah, but he's not playing the English Premier League, is he?
With Hull, no. Is he down in the Championship? Championship. Then?
But yeah. It was a great shout.
It's
Roger.
A great shout.
Is there another Irvine?
No.
No.
Andy.
No.
Remember him.
I like that.
Right, let's see what you're made of on Twitter. Since 99, four players have played in the English Premier League, have played in or for Scotland, and have a Scottish place anywhere in their surname. Cracker, I love
it. Oh,
let's speak to Alan, who's in Drumchapel. That's not one of them. Hi, Alan.
Hello, Paro. How you doing?
Good, Alan.
That's a hard question or not? but my quick point is just about this carry on with the fans are on the disabled shelters.
Yes,
I think this is that's terrible for me. The supporters should know that before they do it. If they run onto the park or do damage like that, they know for a fact they're going to maybe even put the club into a bit of trouble. Because like, even people at the in command that's going to be coming into Rangers thinking, well, Rangers are going to get themselves into bother for doing that.
Well, that's the wider discussion then, Roger, isn't it? I mean, trying to debate something like this in this part of the world is brutal, because if you're a Rangers fan, a lot of people want to absolve your fellow fans of any blame and point the finger elsewhere. And if you're not a Rangers fan, you seem desperate to pin all the blame on the Rangers fan. But the bigger question is, as Alan says, about this idea of getting into trouble. Is there a deterrent? Can there be a deterrent? What would be a deterrent?
Well,
I've had this discussion before.
And you can back down the strict liability route, because I'm not particularly sure that would work. I think you need to take a step back. It's not a black and white issue. There were wrongs for me on many levels. Major supporters should not have been in the roof of that disabled dugout. There's no doubt about it. There are other issues as well, though. You know, we even discussed it earlier on. Players have a responsibility. You know, not just Rangers players. We mentioned Ryan Hedges of Aberdeen as well. There's been others too last season. Did Scott Brown not get a second yellow card for going into the same stand at Rugby Park? For me, there's an onus on players not to, to go and engage their own fans. They're not supposed to do it.
We had Celtic fans on last night, actually being honest enough to say, you know, rather than this blame game, we've experienced this at Rugby Park, can we think?
And, you know, so there were clearly ticketing or entry or stewarding or policing problems. You could see, Nick and I could tell even before the goal went in, there are far too many people in that stand, Gordon. So there are a lot of issues to be tackled by the authorities, the SPFL among them, and we need to give them time to go back through the images, to go back through the witness statements, and have a proper look at where the blame lay, if you like. Yeah,
maybe that's just what we like to do here. We want by Monday night to have one group or one person to pin all the blame on and move on. The truth is, it's far more complex than that.
I'm the same myself.
Alan, what did you make of it on the field?
Yeah, well, on the field, for me, I was thinking, well, the first half was quite really good, actually. I thought we should have maybe put the game to bed in the first half. But maybe the second half we started slacking off a wee bit. But I think the players are still a wee bit like missing where Kent used to be. Well, used to play, because Kent used to be good at doing that and keeping the team good. But I think the players, the way they started playing, they ended up missing Kent a wee bit.
Gordon, I think when you go there, there's a combination of factors. One, that Kilmarnock are, despite what you've seen in pre-season, are hard to beat. You look at the players they've got, the sort of spine of the team. We know the pitch as well. So you've got a couple of things to combat, and the chances of any team going there playing open, free-flowing football and dismantling Kilmarnock are pretty slim.
Well, they've got players that know how to play the system, Gordon, under Steve Clark. Alessio didn't change much of it. The one thing that was noticeable on Sunday, the minute Rangers got the ball, Kilmarnock just dropped onto their 18-yard box, and then they had bodies in front and Brothy up front running from side to side, and says to Rangers, basically, come and break us down. Rangers were too slow in the ball. Maybe that was because of the conditions. I'm not making excuses for them, but the pitch, Alec Ray was there, he said that obviously hadn't been watered, and, you know, it wasn't for Rangers to get their passing game going. But Kilmarnock are very disciplined in what they do. They made it difficult for Rangers, but it was all about the win, I think, for Rangers, especially after Celtic's, you know, convincing 7-0 and the way they played on Saturday, and they set the league campaign going. It was up to Rangers to go to a difficult ground, and people will find it hard down there because they have got decent, experienced players that know how to play. And it's always a difficult ground to go to, but it was about just getting the result. I didn't think Rangers played particularly well, but I don't think Rangers bothered about that. I think it was all about getting out of there with 3 points.
That's something that Rangers managed to do very well at this time last season, Alan. If you remember the European qualifiers, the route to the group stages, they didn't have to be brilliant. They had different challenges to face. They found ways of winning games or drawing the right games, and they got there. Are you confident that can continue this week against Midtjylland?
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I'm hoping they do anyway. Well, I've heard as well this first game against Kilmarnock, that's the most points we've got against Kilmarnock just in the first game than we did in the full season last season.
Yeah, certainly struggled in the head-to-heads last season, Roger.
Yeah, only 2 points. I think the two draws at Ibrox, 2 defeats at Rugby Park. So it's a positive start. We said earlier on the show, Alan, we could sit here and pick flaws in the Rangers' performance all night long. The bottom line is, they won the game. They get the same 3 points on Sunday the Celtic had got for scoring 7 goals on Saturday. So they've won the game. They've won away from home against the side who finished third in the Premiership last season. It's a positive start for Steven Gerrard. So he moves on now. Tough game in Denmark on Thursday night, and then home to Hibs, which will probably be equally tough on Sunday.
Thank you very much. That was Alan in Drumchapel. Give us a call back sometime, Alan. It's 01419511025. I'm looking at Twitter to see if we've got any right answers.
Right, go ahead.
No, yet.
Sorry, go for it.
I've got some funny ones coming in, though, I must admit.
What I was going to ask, I don't know if this is, I'm still struggling with the question. Barry Bannon.
Yes.
Because it's got Annan.
It does, it's got Annan in it. Superb, no, Roger, no, Hannah. I'm impressed.
I'm going to test Mr. Smith. Christian Daly.
No.
Yes.
Why?
Daly is a place in Ayrshire that Ross and Robbie McCrory come from.
Is it spelt the same?
Yep, two L's. D-A-I-L-L-Y.
Well, it looks like it's one of those questions, John, that's going to have 50 million answers that we hadn't thought of. But are you sure? Definitely spelled the same.
100%.
Where is that in Ayrshire?
It's just along from my stomping ground of Girvan. It's where the McCrory twins come from.
What I love about
the village
you,
of Daly.
Because to be fair, John sends a lot of questions in, as you know, and he always researches them thoroughly. And he says, note, places are towns, villages and cities with upwards of 2,000 people according to the 2011 census.
Well,
I couldn't possibly say how many people live in Daly.
I think it's 1,984. Uh-huh. I don't know, I'm just making it up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the two McCrory boys have left.
They've left, yeah. But Barry Bannon's one.
Barry Bannon with Annan in it. Okay, mm-hmm. No worries.
Yeah.
I think you're on your own with this, Roger, because I'm going through Motherwell's, Airdrie's, Hamilton's. Hamilton's.
No. Ooh. Too late for Willie Kilmarnock, isn't it?
Willie Kilmarnock, no, he's not there. Bishop Briggs.
phone Bishop Briggs and ask if he knows the answer.
Stephen Bishop Briggs. Funny you mentioned Motherwell there, Gordon, because we have had our first involvement from the compliance officer of the new season, Roger Hannah. And the reason we're going to mention this tonight, let's treat this as a learning curve, because we will eventually get one of these involving Celtic or Rangers, and the phone lines will blow up and the questions will be, why does this never happen to any other teams, and how can this be possible if the referee saw it at the time? Well, Jake Carroll of Motherwell has been given the first upgraded yellow card of the season. He was booked by referee David Munro for a bad tackle on Livingston's Nicky Devlin at the weekend, but the compliance officer has since got involved. The panel of three ex-referees was asked, do you think it should have been a red card? Because the referee did not properly see it. Even though he saw it and gave the yellow, he didn't see the full extent of it. That's been upheld, and Jake Carroll will now miss two games, one against Celtic and one against Hearts.
Yeah, I was actually at the game, and it did happen away in the far side of the pitch at the Tony Macaroni. So I've got a bit of sympathy for David Munro, the young referee, because at the time I didn't think it looked a red card challenge at all. I thought yellow card. It was two guys going for the ball. Jake Carroll was slightly late on Nicky Devlin. I have to say I agreed with the referee at the time, and I thought it was a yellow card. You see a different angle in the television camera, a far closer angle.
It doesn't look great, to be fair, does it?
It doesn't look great, but I was still surprised when it was upgraded today, I have to say.
Yeah, I'm with Roger.
There are two things here though, Gordon, aren't there? It's not necessarily about do you think it was a red or not. It's about the process. Because
yeah,
Fraser Wishart's big on it. He doesn't like that upgrading
I totally agree. I think if the referee, who's obviously seen the incident, Gordon, because he's handed a yellow card out, I think you just accept that. I think it's just, you know, human decisions on the day. The referee's a part of the game. I don't like this. 2 days later or a day later, you know, three ex-referees sitting down a panel and then saying, no, we'll upgrade that to a red card. I'm with Fraser Wishart for once in my life. I totally agree with him. I don't agree with that. The referee has seen the incident. He's given the yellow card. I think that should be enough.
Right down the time that you've agreed with Fraser on something.
Mm.
That's the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, Roger, it's likely that we'll see some of these as the season progresses. What is interesting though is the fact that in the past there's been this school of thought that you'd be as well appealing everything, because some of them were so unpredictable last year. But Motherwell have said, well, do you know what? We think that was a red card. We think it was a red card. We've looked at it. We think it was a red. We're not going to appeal it. We're not going to issue a statement. We're not going to make a song and dance about it. We're so hard done by, and they've just taken it on the chin. Will that catch on?
No.
Oh, okay.
Don't be ridiculous.
Sorry, it was worth a try. John's question's causing all sorts of drama here, but it's John's list. You just blame him. We're looking for, on the teaser tonight, since 1999, four players have played in the English Premier League, have played in or for Scotland, and have a Scottish place anywhere in their surname. You've got Barry Bannon.
I've no idea.
Okay, we'll try and get the rest of the answers next.
Is there a wick in there somewhere?
No.
No, okay.
We'll get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hannah and Gordon DL are here. They've not walked out in a huff because this teaser question is very difficult. Thanks to John for sending it in tonight. Full time at Clyde1.com if you want to send the questions. And just to be clear, they don't need to be as complex as this, but just we'd love to have all your questions. Full time at Clyde1.com. Tonight's is, can you name, since 1999, four players have played in the English Premier League, have played in or for Scotland, and have a Scottish place anywhere in their name? The guys have got one of four. They've got Barry Bannon, so Annan is part of Bannon. I'll help you out with some of the ones that are coming in on Twitter just quickly before we speak to Tom on the line. Bertie says Joey Barton because of Dumbarton, but that's the other way around. He would need to have Dumbarton in his name. Think about that. So Hugh Moan's gone for James Forrest. He's not played in the English Premier League. What else have we got coming in? And I'll have to say, Roger, we did a bit of research. You went for Christian Daly.
Yep.
And it turns out that Daly has a population of
880.
So it doesn't come under
878.
It doesn't come under John Smith's list, because he told you it was towns, cities, villages of 2000 and over, as per the last census.
Yep.
So he does his research, this guy. Right, have you got any more? You've got Barry Bannon.
Hey, Don Cowie.
That is brilliant.
Yeah. Where is Cowie?
Stirling.
Yeah, superb. I thought that was the hardest
one. Next to Billy Bannockburn.
I must admit, I thought that was the hardest one. Barry Bannon, Cowie.
I've been all around Lanarkshire.
Oh! What about Alec Cleland?
Yes.
Oh, well, you're beauty. Well done.
Superb. Superb. Alec Cleland.
Cleland.
And all of a sudden, you've only got one to get. Oh. Alec Cleland, Don Cowie, Barry Bannon. Tom's a St Mirren fan. What did you make of the weekend, Tom?
We were disappointed, Gordon, but at the end of the day, that's football. Good evening, Gordon and Roger as well, by the way, guys.
Hello. Happy new season, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Roger. How are you doing, guys? Just a wee update. Do you think, Roger, do you think we'll stay up this year?
Yes.
So do you.
Who did you tip, Roger, for the bottom two
I'm
places?
I'm going to whisper it after the first day of the season. I did tip Ross County to get down. But listen, they're always going to get high from Flag Day up there. They caught Hamilton Accies on a bad day. Mm-hmm. They played well. It's a long winter, Gordon, as you'll discover. I just think, Tom, St Mirren showed they had a bit of steel last season, coming back from the debacle of the League Cup at the start of the season, losing Alan Stubbs. They sort of re-energised again in January, fresh players in, and they kicked on and they stayed up. A lot of those players are still there. Jim Goodwin's not long in the door. He's beginning to add. The lad Durmus played very well in his league debut at the weekend. They've added Jorkiev, Obika, Tony Andrew in forward area, so you would think there's a goal scoring threat there as well. They've added Foley in the midfield, McLaughlin at the back. They're trying to get Kyle McAllister back, be it on a loan deal again or a permanent deal. I just think St Mirren will just about, I think they'll have enough to stay up.
Yeah, Gordon, I mean, there were certainly encouraging signs at the weekend. Granted, no points, but that's, you know, you're looking for signs that things can get better.
Yeah, I watched the highlights against Hibs at Easter Road. I thought Hibs missed a few good chances as well, Gordon. Sorry, Tom, I might be doing you a favour here. I've tipped St Mirren to go down. I don't think their preparation with their signings, I thought they've left it a bit late.
You say that though, but there are still 3 weeks of the window left, and they are now seemingly getting their squad together.
Yeah, I think they're just bringing in numbers, Gordon, to help them. I would love to be wrong, because the one club I do like outside Moan, I like St Mirren. I like everything about them.
I mean, to be fair, Roger will shed more light on this as well. The players they've brought in do appear to be fitting into what they're trying to do, Roger. Well, in their priority positions, it's not like it is just a numbers game.
Yeah, they were unlucky. Lost a late goal to Scott Allen at the weekend. I'm told the performance prior to that had been good. Sean McLaughlin missed a header at the back post about a minute before Scott Allen scored the goal at the other end. So it was a more encouraging performance than the fans had seen in that Betfred Cup when they were poor against Edinburgh City, Albion Rovers, East Kilbride. They lost at home to Dunfermline. I think they'll take a lot. Jim Goodwin said as much in the interview after the game with Fraser at the weekend. It's taken a lot out the game. They don't have an easy run of games coming up. You'll be able to confirm, Tom. Is it Aberdeen at home, then Rangers at home?
Aberdeen on Sunday, then Rangers the following.
Yeah, and there's no League Cup. Obviously, they're out in the League Cup as well. So it's an awkward start. But listen, that might just allow the new guys to settle in a little bit when there's less pressure on them to get results. The big games, you know, Tom, will be against Hamilton, against Livy, against Ross County, did I whisper it in this show, against St Johnson, down in that bottom six. If you can get more points than you lose in those games, Tom, you'll be fine.
Bring on Aberdeen, that's what I say. Bring on Aberdeen.
Well, they look pretty good as well, don't they, after the weekend gone?
Yeah, Aberdeen, I think that'll be a tough one. You look at their first three games, Hibs away, Aberdeen at home, Rangers. I would like to see them picking up some points, but I don't think they will. I think Aberdeen will beat them. I think Rangers will beat them. And then it's a bit of pressure on the next game. As I say, Gordon, you've got to tip some team to go down. And I've tipped St Mirren. I hope I'm totally wrong, because as I said, a lot of good people there, a lot of good friends there, and but I just, on a professional note, I had to go for a team. I went for St Mirren.
Okay, thank you, Tom. In Paisley, the Tunnocks Caramel Wafer Challenge Cup is underway tonight, as we mentioned earlier on, and just a couple of players jumping out at me from the team selections. Roger, of course, it's the Colt teams for the yeah. Premiership side. Celtic and Rangers are both involved tonight. The Rangers one, the name that jumps out is Eros Grezda, because if you believe the reports today, and the quotes come from his agent, is that he's about to seal a move to France, but he's actually playing for the Rangers Colts team tonight.
Yeah, they used to say if you're really out of the picture and you were getting punished, you were sent to Coventry. Clearly in a Rangers context, you get sent to Berwick. I'm really surprised Eros Grezda is included, you know, away from home, down at Berwick, against a Lowland League side. He is so far out of the picture, it's scarcely believable. If you believe what the agent says this afternoon, he will soon be away to France. I know Dijon and Brest were both keen to take him. I would think there would be a loan deal done in the next 48 hours, and everyone should keep their fingers crossed it doesn't get injured tonight.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the Celtic team, the names that you perhaps have seen in the first team would be Ewan Henderson. He plays tonight. Jack Aitchison, Armstrong, Oko Flex. You know, like I say, Gordon, it is mostly the Colts team. You're just always looking for the odd so-called senior pro who's been pitched in there.
Yeah, I'm a bit like Roger. You know, you look at that Rangers one, Grezda. If he is going to get out the door, why take him all the way down to Berwick and risk him in a game like that? Because certainly Rangers do need him out the door. They need him probably off the wage bill as well. He's not really fit in at Ibrox. I don't see him having even. When he comes back from loan, I don't think he'll have a career at Rangers. I think they'll offload him as soon as they possibly can. So a bit of a strange one, that, to take him away down and play him the Colts game at Berwick if you're going to get him out on loan.
Right, we've only got a couple of days if you add all hours up left of the English transfer window, Roger. I'm looking at the television screen behind you with the yellow banners everywhere, a popular station. I'm sure you can imagine which one. They make such a big deal out of it. There is 1 day and 21 hours left. Will there be a knock-on effect for us? Who's in danger? Who's at risk of being poached away in the next 1 day and 21 hours?
Well, if you're Celtic, you would wonder, would Kieran Tierney still be a Celtic player after 5 p.m. on Thursday? If you're an Aberdeen fan, you would wonder if Scott McKenna will still be at the club, having put in his transfer request to leave amid interest from QPR and Nottingham Forest. If you're a Rangers fan, and we had a Rangers fan on earlier on asking about the link with Brentford, you would maybe worry that Alfredo Morelos could leave before 5 o'clock. This time, all the Scottish clubs have a little bit of comfort, in so much as the English window shuts 5 o'clock on Thursday, Scottish window doesn't shut until midnight on September the 2nd. So even if Tierney and McKenna and Morelos all go, there is still scope for them to be replaced.
How do you see Scott McKenna's situation playing out? Would Celtic be back on alert, or is this likely to be to try and arrange a move to England?
I think it's more likely to be to try and arrange a move to England. There's been that interest from Forest and from QPR. To my understanding, none has reached a level of bid anywhere close to the one that was knocked back by Aston Villa 12 months ago. Aberdeen are under no pressure to sell. They don't need the money. They've got a player contracted until 2023. Aberdeen, for me, hold all the cards. I would expect them to be on the flight to Croatia with the team tomorrow. I would expect them to play against Rijeka on Thursday night. But you just never know. The money swirling about the English game, If someone meets Aberdeen's valuation, he will be gone.
Fulltime@Clyde1.com. That's the address you need to send your questions to if you want to hear them on the show. John sent this one in tonight, and it is a cracker. Since 1999, four players have played in the English Premier League, have played in or for Scotland, and have a Scottish place anywhere in their surname. A lot to take in, but the answers will help you. Guys like Barry Bannon, Annan, Don Cowie, which is a village in Stirling, and Alec Cleland. Now that means you've only got one of the four to go. I'm quite impressed with you, I must admit. And it's been a good team effort. You come up with Alec Cleland.
Oh, that was a belter. Just down the road, Nicky Law.
Law.
He's done it. He's nailed it before I've even started.
Roger Hanna.
Where's your sense of suspense? I've not even started the theme tune yet, and he has nailed the last answer. Jacob Nicky Brown. Law. Just along the road from Cleland.
Yep.
See, I was going that
you
direction.
You were going that direction as well. You're actually past Cleland.
I wondered why you had the map out over there. I was wondering what you were doing. Played for who in the English Premier League?
What was it? Was it Bradford?
No.
Sheffield United?
Mm-hmm, it was Sheffield United. Nicky Law, there we go. And then played just down the road again in Motherwell in the top flight, didn't he? So there we go. That was a great effort, I must admit. Thank you very much, Roger Hanna and Gordon DL, for joining me, Gordon Duncan. As always, the biggest thanks goes to you for your calls, for your tweets, and for just listening to us as well. We will be back tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, in the company of Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy. In the meantime, just stay right where you are, because Callum Gallagher is up next.
Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.
The weather in Central Ohio just got better, and so should your loan rate. CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.9% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org. Terms apply. Minimum floor rates 4.99% APR car, 6.5% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.